I am talking about run from distrust. And I'm going to be reading from Psalm 11, because I trust, David writes, I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? But the Lord is in his holy temple. Bill referenced that. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scorching winds. For the righteous, Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. Lord, we cry out to you. Cry out to you for our lives. Cry out to you for our community. Lord, we cry out to you for our country. Lord, we thank you that, as David writes, Lord, in the midst of being hunted by Saul, that you, Lord, are with him, and you are with us regardless of circumstance. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to not allow our circumstances to overwhelm us, but let your peace guide us. Lord, the places where at times, if we're honest, we're struggling and trusting you. It might be in finances. It might be in relationships. It might be in health, Lord God. There's times when we just feel piled upon. Help us to not run, Lord. But help us to trust you, Lord Jesus. In all things, in your name. Amen. A few weeks back, I was watching some games on TV, and as I was channel surfing, I came across a show called Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Now, he was like an English Special Forces, and what he does is he takes various celebrities, and they drop them in remote places. Maybe it's like, you know, extreme winter conditions, or maybe it's a desert. And what he does is, you know, they got to go from point A to point B, and he takes these celebrities through all kinds of things. And this one guy was an actor who he's deaf. So he's trying to talk to him, and there was an interpreter there, and they hook into this rock face cliff. And Bear Grylls propels down, and he tugs. So this other guy has to go down. And what he had to do was, in the midst of fear, and in the midst of knowing this thing could crumble, and as I would too, I got to trust this. I got to trust my condition. I have to trust what is going on and move forward. And I got to trust this Bear Grylls guy. Now, I do wonder about him, because sometimes I watch him in here take a bath nude. Once, I think it was in the Arctic Circle, he broke a hole in the ice and dived in. And yeah, go for it. No, I'm not gonna. But regarding Psalm 11, Charles Spurgeon wrote, David, on some unmentioned occasion, faced a temptation to distrust God. That's what these verses are about. You see, Satan wants to lure us away from trusting God. He wants us to weaken our faith. You know the score. If God really loves you, why would this happen? If God really loves you, why would that happen? We need to spend time in verses like Psalm 11, praying through them, God, strengthen my faith. Strengthen the times when my trust in you isn't as strong as other times. And I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure we all go through weaker seasons. But we have to reflect on these verses, and when our faith is under attack, and say, you know what? Regardless, God, I'm going to trust you. There's times with my personality where maybe I will vent with God, and maybe, you know, I just get upset and I'll let him have it, but he's a big God. He can handle that. Then I get unfull of myself. I repent and I know it's going to be okay. But we have to refuse to run. There are people running away from their faith because God isn't living according to the Bible they want. But God lives according to the Bible that he gives us. We have to refuse to run. First point I'm going to make, we have to have an unwavering declaration. I like what David writes in verse 1. I trust in the Lord for protection. Not, I have a great nest egg of finances. Not, my health is going to be amazing. Always, I eat right. I don't swear, I do everything great. Or relationship-wise, you know, we all have places where we get under attack. David is being hunted like a dog. He's saying, I trust in the Lord for protection. Now, you know what I like about this? He writes, flee like a bird. Why do you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains for safety? You know what he's saying? Sometimes you have friends, and they give you really good advice. But it's not God. They're saying, David, run. How about when Saul is in the cave going to the bathroom and David and his bunch of lunatics, they go, hey, go kill him and you'll be free. It makes sense to me. If I got a guy wanting to kill me and his back is turned to me and he's doing what he's doing, it makes sense to me. But David goes, man, I'm trusting God. I'm not touching his anointed. This psalm reminds me of Nehemiah 6 after, you know, Nehemiah builds the wall of Jerusalem, but the gates aren't up and his enemies are saying, hey, why don't you come over here and meet us? And what does Nehemiah say? Should such a man as I flee? He's saying, God called me to do this. I'm not going to be disturbed. I'm not going to be talked to by other people. I mean, sometimes I have people that love me. Look at Job's wife when he's going through it. Hey, curse God and die. Sometimes the people close to us, because they're emotionally attached, they give us advice. It's not God. When we were going through this building thing years ago, I had a pastor I loved dearly call me up at the end and kind of let me have it because we didn't fix it. I can't do what God hasn't called me to do. And they understood that. So David is saying, why should I fly away like a bird? I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to run when God is saying to stay here. I was at a party for my grandson yesterday, and somebody was talking about, why do you live in New York State? And I'm not going to preach to a bunch of people. I said, well, because God called me here. I know it's going to come in the next 4 months. I drove home in snow yesterday, would I rather be where the sun shines almost every day rather than 48 days out of the year? I would. But this is where God has me. And this is where God gives me the faith to live. You know, in verses 2 and 3, David sees the evil that surrounds him, but he refuses to budge. But I'm sure it crossed his mind. Don't you ever think? I mean, my fantasy used to be, give me a log cabin in a big field with my wife and an English bulldog. And life would be great. But you know what I realize? I don't think that's what God has. What are you going through today? You know what God's saying? Be like David. Refuse to yield. Refuse to yield, which means don't compromise. Well, maybe if I do. No, don't compromise. Don't budge an inch in your faith. Are there going to be times you feel like it? Yes, there is. There's going to be times when you feel like you're down and out. But God is saying, refuse to yield. You know, under Saul's government, and David wrote this verse, The foundations of law and order were destroyed. Were destroyed. Does that sound familiar? Look at the news. In Seattle, Target's closing a bunch of stores. They're tired of the crime. It sounds like America. Don't yield. We had a pastor's meeting this week, and the pastors talked about one of our favorite topics. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called social media. And while we have to use social media, we got to be careful on social media. As Christians, our sin on social media is not any more righteous than people that do the wrong thing. So yeah, you know, we need to trust God, not the government. We're out there praying today because God has called us to East 4th and Oneida Street, so we want to talk to this community. I like what verse 3 of the latter part says, what can the righteous do? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, what can't the righteous do? When God calls us to stand firm and to trust Him, guess what? There is nothing we cannot accomplish because the Holy Spirit moves within us. In Romans 8, and having chosen them, he called them to come with him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Not Republican, not Democrat, not this person, not that person. Who can ever win out against us? It can't happen. The circumstances of your life, and I understand, I'm not making light of anything. Please hear that. I know there might be turmoil. I know there might be health concerns. I know there might be, you know, somebody was talking to me today about an extremely tragic situation that happened to a loved one of theirs, and all they can do is sit and listen. And I think, Christians, that's what we need to learn to do. When I'm with somebody and they're really going through it, I know there is no word I can say that will bring them comfort. I can offer my prayers, but more often than not, I just offer an ear. I listen to the words of James, which says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. We are always seen. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Like David, let's declare the source of our unflinching faith and courage. You know, Bill did something during worship that's in my notes I want to do now, but I'm so, you know, are you going through a hard time right now? Let's do this. Close your eyes, because I know sometimes you get self-conscious. Are you going through a hard time right now? You need a touch from God. Just keep your eyes closed. My eyes are closed too. Just put your hand up. I just want to echo what Bill did during worship. Because the Lord is definitely saying today he wants to impart into you. And I'm not trying to pressure you, but when God does moments like this, just respond. Don't miss the blessing. And Lord, I pray for everybody who needs a touch from you right now, Lord. Help us to be like David. I think sometimes, Lord, you can put your hands down. I think sometimes, Lord, we look at people in the Bible and we think they were just like Marvel superheroes. They were spiritual Iron Mans and Thors, but they were just human beings with frailty, with strengths and weaknesses. And David knew that he knew that he knew that he was not to back down. And I pray for those that need a touch right now in this room today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would strengthen and encourage them, Lord. You see, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we're going to trust in you, God. It's not our wisdom. It's not what we have. It's not our finances. It's certainly not our government, Lord God. It is you that we trust in. Let us hold tight and know that you are with us in every circumstance. Amen. You can open your eyes. There's a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, Joshua Dobbs. He used to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He went to the Arizona Cardinals. So about a week and a half ago, he gets traded to the Minnesota Vikings. So he goes from Arizona to Minnesota. Last Sunday, first game, he doesn't know the playbook. He doesn't know anything about the team. And lo and behold, their quarterback gets hurt. So guess what, Josh? You're up. After the game, and they won, and he did a good job, he said this about Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. In the NFL, there's never an excuse for your circumstance. Usually people don't care about your circumstances. They just want to see you succeed given the circumstances that you've been given. You see, if he had looked like an idiot and lost that game, who is going to listen to the fact that, well, you know, you just got here a couple days ago? No, you're an NFL quarterback making millions of dollars. Be quiet and succeed. That's life. Excuses are like backsides. We all got them. But what Mike Tomlin is saying, and what we have to realize, guess what? Your circumstances might be rough, but your circumstances are your circumstances. They didn't creep up on God, and he is with you. And regardless of where you're at, he wants to see you grow in your faith. Verse 5 said, the Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. The ESV says, the Lord tests the righteous. Why does God test us? He wants to see how deep your faith is. He wants to see how much we love him. He wants to see trust and other godly traits. You know, I'm doing a Bible study with some guys, and we looked at some verses because, you know, we are all forgiven, but do you know we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God? And he's going to judge us? But I'm forgiven. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. But God's going to judge me. He's going to see how I live my life for him. He's going to look at my words and the actions of my life. You see, God tests us to reveal the strengths as well as the places where we need to grow, and we all have them. You know, the message Tomlin sent Dobbs was, hey, regardless of your circumstances, people want you to produce, to do what needs to be done. David could have turned tail and run because Saul was after him, but he stood fast, and we are. But you don't know my circumstances. No, but I know your God if you love Jesus, and I know my God. Then no matter where I'm at, we're going to move forward. The Bible is full of testimonies that talk about people standing firm and trusting God. I was listening to, I think it was Greg Laurie, they're talking about the book Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And, you know, Satan's with all his demons, and he goes, hey, what do we do to beat the world? And one demon goes, hey, let's tell them there's no hell. And the Satan goes, people won't believe that. Isn't it funny they do today? That's a big move in progressive Christianity. Come on, hell isn't real. Then why did Jesus talk about more about that than almost anything else? But one demon goes, hey, I'm going to trick people into making them wait, tell them it's okay to delay. And the devil goes, man, that's it. Don't wait to get on board for God. Don't leave this church today without saying, God, regardless of what it is you want, I'm yours. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to spend what you do, what you tell me to spend. I'm going to give you every area of my life. Be like David. Why should I flee like a bird to the mountain? Well, God, when I get older, I will give you more time. If you don't now, you won't then. God is saying, I want you to be all in. I am encouraged about where we're going. What God is saying to us is we need to engage, but we need to represent well. You know, what's that old song? I think it's Garden Party by maybe Ricky Nelson. I can't remember who sang it from the 70s. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. What a crock. Read Philippians 2. Think of others as what? Better than yourselves. That don't preach in the world today. But the reason it doesn't is the opposite. If you can't please everyone, you gotta please yourself. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Think about you. The more I think about me, the less I think about him. The more I think about me, the less I'm going to think about you. So I want the freedom in my life to get over myself, to not worry about it, and to move forward in God. Why today? Why did we have a prayer walk today? Why did I schedule that? Because God wants us to engage with our community. God wants us to seek him and to really get involved. And I'm excited where we're going. You see, the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ and my relationship really needs to be on display. We need to stand firm in our faith, displaying our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21, Paul writes, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." I don't fear death, because then I'm going to have eternity with my Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, how I get there, it kind of matters to me, but I know regardless of what I do, what I'm going to go through, God is going to be with me every step of the way. My vision for this church hasn't wavered since day one. We're called to be a spiritual hospital. We're called for the people who are physically and spiritually weak and sick and distraught to come in here without judgment, but without compromise, and to be loved, to be ministered to, and to get the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we're going to be, and this is who we're going to stay. We are going to be safe. I love the building. Thank God we have it. One of the downsides of this building is if you stand outside and look at this marvelous structure, it looks religious. To get people in our doors, we need relationship. They need to know, hey, it's okay. You can go there and hear about the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it talks about earlier in the chapter, if you can speak in tongues, if you do prophecy, if you can do this and that, you have faith to move mountains, but you have not love, you have nothing. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. When I was a young Christian, I was struggling in my faith because I didn't go to church growing up, and man, this all was new to me. I liked the older brothers in the church and the older sisters I could talk to, and they wouldn't put me down. They'd answer my stupid questions. That I knew when I had a problem, I could go to them, and they would pray for me. And you know what? They may drop me a line. I remember, you know, I was a new Christian, and I had some guy, he wrote me a note. He was from the church, an older brother, and he mailed it to me. It freaked me out. I opened it. Why is a guy writing me a note talking about him loving me? I'm sorry. It was new to my agenda. But I read it, and it encouraged me because somebody cared about me. That's my life, and that's the church's life. I've always been a kingdom builder. I am here for New Covenant Community Church because that is where God placed me. But I'm not here to build this church. I'm here to build his church. And that is our heart. That is the strength of this church, is relationship, is loving people, is really caring for people. You see, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let's close our eyes, bow our heads if you want to. You don't have to. Don't even have to close your eyes. Didn't you love it when we sang, "He is for you"? Christ is for you. Lord, let us be like David. Let the declaration of our hearts be, I trust in you for protection. When people ask us why we still trust you in the middle of turmoil and pain, let us echo his words. Why should I flee like a bird to the mountains for safety? Jesus, you tell us, don't fear the one that can hurt your body, but fear the one that can cast your soul into hell. Lord, we see terrible things happen in this world, things that I don't understand. Depravity, which is unspeakable. But I know when I trust in you, my foot won't be moved. Lord, I think about the young Muslim girl I read about who became a Christian. Her life was threatened by her family, so she fled to another country. After some growth and at a very tender age of 15 or 16, she knew you called her back home, even if it meant dying for you. Let that be the cry of our hearts, Lord, that we won't waver. Will we be mocked? Yes, we will. But let us not waver. Let us not compromise. Let us not be threatened by the sin that is thrown in our face at times, Lord. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Father, I thank you when you put us in sticky situations, when you put us in uncomfortable situations, because that brings me to the end of myself, and I just cry out to you eternally for prayer, for faith and help, Lord. I thank you what you've called this church to be and what we are. Lord, I thank you that we're doing the Operation Christmas Child. Lord, I thank you for the hearts for this community. Lord, I pray again for those that need strength, Lord. I pray for those in the church that have been through so much, like Sylvia, Lord, and others. Pray that you would touch them and encourage them, that they would know in their knower that you have them in the hollow of your hand, Lord. Let our lives be like Paul's, who knows that no other foundation can be laid other than you, Lord Jesus. Because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, Lord. Lord, I'm tired of reading about friends and other people that they pass away with abundance of the world's goods. But to the best of my knowledge, they pass away without you, Lord. Let us have your heart for this community, Lord. I thank you for New Covenant Community Church, the awesome group of people that we have, Lord. Pray that you would bless them this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.